Over 40 in Vancouver. I'm Roland.
I'm Dale.
Episode 106.
Close
to 105.
From a nice little park in East Vancouver.
What's the name of this park?
Kids are playing. You know, I don't know. It's
no one knows the name of their local park.
Nanaimo and Pandora and Nanaimo and.
We're gonna talk about our media diet or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. What we have consumed over and above lunch, for our brain.
Or for our not brain.
For our not brain. We actually read the same book recently.
When the Moon Hits Your Eye.
By John Scalzi.
I thought it was good. I mean, it wasn't Shakespeare or name your favorite.
It is thing. One of the most peculiar books I've read in a long time.
Things happen.
The premise of the book is the moon turns into cheese. Like that's
which is never explained.
And the reason is never explained. It's
because it's absurd.
But the whole rest of the treatment
is... And they
is
even say that in the book. It's absurd. How could this happen?
And all of the treatment of it thereafter is scientific. Each chapter is a day, shorter and longer. And I honestly was starting to get a little bored partway through, but the writing was good enough that I kept going to the end.
Well, it's Scalzi.
Which is a commentary testament to how good a writer
I don't think anyone's good who listens to this is going to read this book. Spoiler, it becomes reverts to non-cheese.
It's that is a spoiler actually, because I wasn't sure what was going to happen. It didn't stick the ending. I think that's what it left me a little bit.
The ending was not stuck, but it was quite funny and also serious.
Quite disappointed with the ending.
Yeah.
It actually dealt with, I thought, in a very interesting way, how people would deal
with
something like that happening. And also something happens and the world is in danger. So there's a whole bunch of that kind of thing happening too. And aspects of that were very interesting. The concept was interesting. But yeah, ultimately in the end, for me, he didn't stick the landing. So I think if you're at all intrigued by it,
if you're a Scalzi fan, you should read it. At least read the first half.
Yeah.
If you're not a Scalzi fan, you can probably pass. Although it is funny. The title is funny.
The title's funny, and there's definitely humor in the book. But yeah, it's such a peculiar little book.
Oh, this coffee's good. What is it? What's the name of the cafe?
D-O-E.
Go Cafe. We went to Plain Jane ice cream after Conway dim sum. All good. All recommended, as far as I can tell.
Yep. Excuse me. Thumbs up for me.
Yeah, what I liked about it was that it was something new. Because so absurd that he had to go in new directions. And also it reflects on our current society and past societies.
Yeah.
How people would think about the end of the world.
Yeah.
You brought in the evangelical Christians. You had everything.
Well, from a North American.
But he doesn't.
Which is fine. That's his.
Yeah, that's his shtick. Yeah.
I think he would have been probably not as good if he tried to go outside of.
Okay, we went on. How about that movie? What was it called?
Project Hail Mary.
I can't remember the name of the book. I read the book. You think I could remember the movie?
Project Hail Mary. I have the book. It's on my next to read. Yeah, no, the movie was really good. Like, I haven't...
Really good.
I haven't enjoyed
it.
A movie.
Too long, but...
It didn't feel
that long. It didn't really feel too long, but I felt like it was too long.
It didn't feel as long as it was.
2 hours and 40 minutes.
I think they pretty much earned it. I don't think it would have hurt being a little bit
shorter.
But they earned some movies don't earn that length. They definitely are like, no, you just got lost in your story. But no, I think they did okay. And there's just lots of humor in it. Lots of science in it, even though it's fantastical. But and you know, I love not that I don't like pessimistic or dark movies, but not all the time. So it was a nice palate cleanser to have something that was ultimately optimistic, but
spoiler, it was a happy ending. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Ultimately a happy ending, but I don't think the movie was telegraphing that it was going to be some sort of happy ending. Exactly how that looks, you're not sure. And I was really happy with the kind of the twists and turns that happened in there. I was also really happy with just how reluctant a hero he was.
Yeah.
You know?
At every turn.
And that actually bounced nicely off the optimism. Like, the guy was definitely a flawed character.
or the German woman who plays, well, I don't know if she's German, but if she's actually German, but the woman who plays the administrator.
The project, yeah, she was great. I loved her.
Yeah, I think she's a character actor. I think she's in a lot of movies.
She's definitely a European actress.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah, I've seen her in maybe German movies then.
She was almost my favorite character. I liked her. Every time she was on screen, she was great.
It was fun. It was also a fun movie. You know, that's the other thing about it. You like the Scalzi book, whether or not you finish it or like the ending, it was a fun book, at least initial chapters of the Scalzi book, and this whole movie was fun.
Do you remember the book enough to know how close they stuck to the plot?
Well, the book is different because there's more emphasis on the terrorism, and there's more emphasis on, well, I mean, the way Rocky, the alien, and whatever his name is, what's his name? Fowler? Dove?
Grace?
Grace! The way Fowler and Grace and Rocky communicate is different in the book, but I feel like the way they changed it for the movie makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
What they have in the book. I read it so long ago, like right after The Martian, I don't know. I have no idea what actually the book had is, other than that.
I think this is literally the first movie that I would have been happy paying for. Mm-hmm. There's so many movies I can't say that about. But I'm looking forward to the book.
Lav Diaz is Magellan. I think if you're a Filipino heritage or you're curious about what it's like to be an explorer in 1500s, which I saw 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago at the Cinematheque. It's a short movie for Lav Diaz, only 164 minutes. So shorter than Project Hail Mary. So by a few minutes.
Because his other one was like six hours.
No, he's got several that are 6 to 10 hours long, not just one or two. But I have I watched one about a life of the Filipino village. But anyways, Magellan was a... If you're into Euro cinema, if you're into Filipino history, or the whole Age of Discoverers, I believe is what the Portuguese called it, I think it's worthwhile watching. If you're not, then not. There's no disco soundtrack. There's no Hollywood accoutrement tabernacle. There's nothing like that. Like, that's the thing. It's a very stripped down, artsy, but stripped down movie. Like, there's a little bit of music. But, you know, sometimes these movies can have these maudlin soundtrack, the Euro ones.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that maudlin soundtrack.
That's good.
It doesn't have a disco soundtrack either, you know, when they're, like, sailing in and arrows are flying. There's no, like, boom, 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 like Battlestar Galactica or any of the science fiction series that we love and hate.
You can really tell where a director is coming from by the kind of soundtrack.
He shot it on two Panasonic GH7s. Which are old cameras, but I was wondering, like, this lighting looks funny and the format is wrong. It's because of GH, I think he shot it square or some other non-standard aspect ratio.
Oh, one of the old ones?
Because, of course, he's an auteur.
Yeah.
I think he shot it in square, but I think if you're a Filipino history curious, because Magellan was a jerk.
It would have been 4x3.
The Spanish king was a jerk.
Oh, sure.
The Portuguese king were a jerk. The church were jerks. Like, it's just...
Yeah. Colonialism, man.
And the patriarchy in the Philippines in Cebu. So he hinted at it was a matriarchy, because that's what everyone thinks before the Europeans arrived. The Philippines, most of the islands were matriarchal, but it's not really brought out. So he's kind of leaves me... He basically took what historians think may have happened. And if you read the Wikipedia page about Lapu-Lapu, he's basically filmed that. Minus last 20 or 30 years where people are saying the Philippines was ruled by matriarchal clans. So it was never unified. So there were like clusters, and they're all ruled by matriarchs. Clusters of islands, clusters of villages, clusters of towns. And they had gold, and they had civilization, they had writing, and there was traders. There was always Indian and Chinese traders, so they had all that stuff.
This is one of the things, actually, that bothers me a little bit about docudramas where they...
Yeah, but we'll never know. They fictionalize. It's 1520.
Yeah, but people are... Like, I think of, like, more recent stuff.
And
like,
you can't take him seriously.
Especially stuff
you can't assume he's a historian.
Oliver Stone and his stuff.
Yeah, it's not like that. It's not like that. Oliver Stone pretends he has this patina of
there's been authority. Any number of movies that are based on a true story that are the only ones telling particular stories that people are going to take away like this is the way it was. And in some cases, they're pretty egregious.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure that you're right. It is pretty egregious retelling, but I'm pretty sure that 99% of the people watch that will not. It will not cause their brain to say, everything I've been taught about the Philippines is wrong.
But well, okay, but what about the implications of them just internalizing that as that was the history?
I don't... Our colonial narrative...
Our whole society is built on stories and narratives.
Yeah,
that...
but the whole colonial narrative is too much entrenched in the Philippines. Like, Stanley Carnell wrote in Our History, a book, an American historian, Stanley Carnell, who spent a lot of time in Asia, so he has a lot of credibility. And he spent a lot of time in the Philippines. He wrote a book called In Our Image about the colonization of the Philippines by the Americans. And despite the fact, and he won the Pulitzer Prize for this book, okay? Like the American Pulitzer Prize. He didn't win the Filipino awards. Despite the fact that he mentions that 100,000 to 400,000 Filipinos died, when the Filipinos fought against the Americans after the Philippines was given to the United States after the Spanish-American War was run by the United States. If you went up to an average Filipino and told them that, like, it's not a secret, it's not a conspiracy, it's 100,000, 400,000. You tell the average Filipino, Canadian, Filipino, the Philippines, it doesn't matter, Filipino diaspora, it doesn't matter. They'll be like, shocked, really? Because even though it's not hidden,
you
don't teach it. It's like we don't teach about the slaughter of indigenous people or up until recently, residential schools. No one really tried to hide the residential schools. Maybe they hid the graves. I'm sure they hid the graves, as we know from the radar, but they didn't try to hide the fact that they were...
But they did put a narrative on it.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I
and that's what the Americans put a narrative on that period of history.
I have had arguments with family members, like when residential school comes up and they're like... Well, they just got sick, and it's like...
Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
Sure, they got sick from smallpox or whatever disease you gave them that they didn't have immunity for from colonialism.
That too. I mean, in the case of residential schools...
It was far after that.
Far different from that.
And it was way after that. This wasn't first contact. Anyway, I love history. I love the hidden history like that. Like, so I think Magellan, if you're in a hidden history, I think you should watch it. And I don't think you'll be unbrainwashed. I don't think we can erase the Spanish and American colonial narratives at this point.
I don't know what it is about my life right now, but I really just, I am so, like, give me nonfiction. I just do not want to spend more time in reality.
Give me a fiction, nonfiction.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, give me fiction. Give me a good story.
Well, you got to watch Dune 3.
Eventually.
Would you go to the theater for that, knowing what you know today?
No.
I didn't think so. All right. Well, I think that's enough media blah, blah.
Yeah, that's right. We didn't even get to the TV shows.
We still don't know the name of the park. Should it say somewhere Vancouver Parks?
Park? I'm sure it does in a little sign that we'll never find.
Yeah, this like really small green sign with white letters.
At Pandora and Nanaimo.
Cha-ching.
Bye-bye.
I'm rolling.